لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، all praises due to Allah, and we ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions, and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the day of judgment. Brothers in Islam, a flood. And what do you know about the flood? And where were you during the time of the flood? And what are the consequences of the flood? Actually, what are the causes of the flood? Allah says in the Quran, ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس ليذيقهم بعض الذي عملوا لعلهم يرجعون. Corruption has appeared in the land and in the sea due to what the people have earned with their own hands. Pay attention now. Not because of nature, not because Allah oppresses His creation, not because things happen with no reason or wisdom behind it, but because of what people have earned with their own hands, because of our deeds. So Allah will make them taste بَعْضَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا, some of that which they have done. If we were to be treated accordingly, we will not exist. We will not be here today. But this is بَعْضَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا, some of that which they have done. What is the objective? Allah says, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Perhaps they will return to Allah. Perhaps they will return to Allah. It was a regular day, like any other day, unexpected. But this is how Allah's punishment comes. It comes unexpected. Allah says in the Quran, أَفَأَمِنَ أَهْلُ الْقُرَىٰ أَن يَأْتِيَهُمْ بَأْسَنَا بَيَاتًا وَهُمْ نَائِمُونَ. Do the people of the towns and the villages feel secure that our punishment will come to them during the night while they are asleep? أَوْ أَمِنَ أَهْلُ الْقُرَىٰ أَن يَأْتِيَهُمْ بَأْسُنَا ضُحًا وَهُمْ يَلْعَبُونَ. Or do they feel secure that our punishment will come to them? Our punishment will come to them during the forenoon while they are playing. أَفَأَمِنُوا مَكْرَ اللَّهِ. Do they then feel secure of the plan of Allah? فَلَا يَأْمَنُ مَكْرَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. None will feel secure from the plan of Allah except the losers, which is what happened to me and you. We felt secure. Nothing is going to happen. We can continue to sin. But Allah Azza wa Jal gave us a taste of what we deserve. Along with His mercy, many of you here probably were not affected by this in any way, shape or form. Others have. So Allah has shown particular mercy to me and to you that you're alive and your family is alive and your car is functioning and your house is there, dry and good, waiting for you to go back home after the salah. Others don't feel the same way we do. But there's no guarantee that the next time around we will be saved. There's no guarantee unless we strive. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned us. He said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَتَأْمُرُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَلَتَنْهَوَنَّ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ أَوْ لَيُوشِكَنَّ اللَّهُ أَنْ يُرْسِلَ عَلَيْكُمْ عِقَابًا مِّنْهِ ثُمَّ تَدْعُونَهُ فَلَا يُسْتَجَابُ لَكُمْ. By the one whose my soul is in his hand, you better enjoin what is good and forbid what is evil. Otherwise, Allah shall send a punishment upon you from Him. Then you will supplicate to Him and it will not be responded to you. How many times did we make dua during the month of Ramadan? Every night, in every masjid, we made dua. But you know what, my brothers in Islam? There are reasons why our dua is not accepted. There are preventives that are coming between us and success. What are they? The sins that you and I commit. The sin that you and I commit is not confined to me and you. It affects the whole Muslim ummah. Don't think that sins are personal. No. The accumulation of sins will result in the destruction of the ummah. And what we saw is a classical example. So many sins that are prevalent amongst us. So much so that they became the norm. In fact, they became halal in the minds of the people. They're so disregarded, so neglected, so not discussed on the minbar or otherwise, that the people believe there's absolutely nothing wrong with them. But you know what? There's a lot wrong with them. And unless we wake up, unless we enjoin what is good and forbid what is evil, then we may be next on the list. There's no security from the plan of Allah unless you're upon righteousness. And Allah knows how many of us can be considered in the sight of Allah, not in the sight of the people, upon righteousness. We have wickedness within. We have sicknesses and diseases in our hearts. We are afraid of everything and everyone but Allah. We don't enjoin what is good and forbid what is evil because we are afraid of what the people think, what the neighborhood will say, what the society assumes. But what Allah Azza wa Jal decrees for us, some of us don't even care. And I will give you an example that I've been wanting to discuss from this minbar for such a long time. But Allah decreed that it was postponed and postponed until this last Hajj. With this last Hajj, it became too much to handle. We don't understand whether we can call it Hajj or a smoking campaign. Feeble-minded individuals with brains like that of a bird will come all the way from the other side of the world for the sake of Allah, supposedly, to worship Allah and do Hajj, hoping that the sins will be forgiven and they will go back like the day their mothers gave birth to them, and they're smoking from the time they leave and until the time they go back. What foolishness, what nonsense, what oppression against oneself and against the community and the brothers around them. Smoking, and what do you know about smoking? This wicked habit for the wicked people. Excuse my language, you must understand that this is not a light matter. You think I'm exaggerating? Wait until I explain to you the Islamic perspective concerning smoking. First and foremost, if anyone has fooled you, such as the smoking mufti, that smoking is makruh, then the first thing you need to do is delete that from your list. There's no such thing as smoking is makruh. Smoking is haram, haram, haram. Forbidden. Why? I will give you textual evidences from the Quran and the Sunnah, not from my brain. When Allah described the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He said, وَيُحِلُّ لَهُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ. Even if you don't understand Arabic, you will be able to identify the wording and the terminology. Pay attention. وَيُحِلُّ from halal, لَهُمْ to them الطَّيِّبَاتِ, the lawful, the good. He makes lawful for them that which is good. You like to eat chicken, you like to eat spaghetti, whatever you like to eat which is good, Allah made it halal. Then He said, وَيُحَرِّمُ حَرَام عَلَيْهِمْ upon them الْخَبَائِثِ, that which is evil. Now you ask any person on earth, a smoker or otherwise, an elderly or a youngster, a doctor or an ignorant person, if I had two columns, one that says good and one that says evil, and I needed to categorize the cigarette, under which one do I put them? No need to answer. The answer is in your brain, under the evil part, the evil column. And Allah says in the Quran, يُحَرِّمُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْخَبَائِثِ. He makes haram for them the khaba'ith. Smoking. Suicide. There are a number of ways where you can kill yourself. You may get a shotgun and shoot yourself. You may hang yourself with a rope. or any other means of quick, immediate death. And there's another kind of suicide, which is long-term suicide. And Islam does not allow you to do neither. You can't kill yourself immediately, and you cannot kill yourself in the long run. Meaning, if you had a liter of poison, which you know according to the doctors, if you were to consume the whole amount, you shall die. You're not allowed to take every day a bunch of milliliters, whereby in the passage of time, you will also die. Whether you drink the whole thing or you take it in portions, if it's going to lead to your death, because your body cannot handle this poison, it is haram for you to take it. And smoking is one of these long-term suicide. Could be short-term for many, if Allah decrees that cancer spreads in your body, and then nothing can save you but Allah. This is a reality. So then, Allah says in the Quran, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do not kill yourselves. But it is unfortunate. It is unfortunate the condition of the smoker. Let me give you an example to prove to you that the smoker does not really love Allah. Does not really love Allah. Unless I make an exception. The one who hates smoking and is struggling to quit. This one, his affair is with Allah. I'm talking about the one who smokes like there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. No remorse in his body, in his heart, in his mind. Let me prove to you that he loves the dunya so much. He loves this world so much. He loves himself over the love of Allah Azza wa Jal. Find one smoking a cigarette. And I tried this. I tried it myself to see. Smoking a cigarette. Tell him, listen man. If I were a doctor, if I were a doctor who made some studies on your blood and your heart and so on and so forth, and according to my studies, I came to the conclusion that your body cannot accommodate one more cigarette. If you smoke the cigarette in your hand, you shall die. Guaranteed, you will have a heart attack and you will die instantly. Do you think anyone will continue to smoke? Never. He will throw it on the floor immediately. My life, my well-being. But you tell him, Allah says don't kill yourself, no problem. I don't need to listen to Allah. I listen to a doctor who may care for you or may not, who does not hold Jahannam and Jannah, who has no control over anything. We listen to the doctor if he advised us, don't smoke. Okay doctor, no problem. But Allah says, لا تقتلوا أنفسكم. Do not kill yourselves. Ah, not for me. Who cares what Allah says? Isn't this a reality? This is a reality. This is what smoking does. Secondhand smoke. Smoke contains 4,000 chemical compounds. 4,000, including carbon monoxide, which is poison to the body. So many people die of secondhand smoke. So you ask the Hajji, Mr. Hajji, who came to do Hajj for the sake of Allah, how dare you? How dare you light a cigarette with Muslims around you? These poor Muslims who want to breathe fresh air that Allah created for them, who are you to deprive the people of fresh air? Who are you? Who are you to enter into the restaurant smoking? Who are you? Who are you to enter into the bagala smoking? Who are you? You think this is your land? This is the land of Allah. You better act right. You better act right before Allah's punishment will be on you next. Smoking is not a joke. It is not entertainment. It is something that the Muslim must leave immediately. And we saw wonders in Hajj. La ilaha illallah. How he makes a distinction between his creation. The last hour of Arafah, on the day of Arafah, the last hour before Maghrib, this blessed time, one person is crying to Allah and another one cannot put out the cigarette. What do you think the affair will be with Allah on the day of judgment? Do you think they are the same? أَفَنَجْعَلُ الْمُجْرِمِينَ كَالْمُسْلِمِينَ مَا لَكُمْ كَيْفَ تَحْكُمُونَ. Shall we treat the criminals like the Muslims, the submitters to Allah? What is the matter with you? How do you judge? They're not the same in the sight of Allah. This calamity of smoke that has overtaken this ummah, everywhere you go, anywhere you go, people smoking and smoking and smoking. Haram upon haram upon haram. It is enough that they are harming themselves. It is enough that they are harming their believers. the believers, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam walked out in the masjid and he saw some of the companions reciting the Quran somewhat loudly. He prohibited them from reciting the Quran loudly. He said, do not recite over each other. Verily, this harms the believers. You may harm a believer by reciting the Quran while he's trying to do salah, because he can no longer focus on the salah because of your recitation. Then what do you say about smoke? If reciting the Quran is haram, if it's going to harm a believer, then what do you say about smoke? Whether it is in the house of Allah or outside, it is unacceptable. And lastly, جهر بالمعصية. It is disobeying Allah publicly. And these people will hardly ever be saved from Allah's punishment unless they repent. As if you're telling the people, I don't care what Allah says, I don't care what Islam teaches, and I don't care about you. My brother in Islam, I don't care whether the smoke harms you or it doesn't harm you. I do what I like. This is the reality. This is the attitude of this individual. This is among the most evil of sins. To act as if disobeying Allah is something that is alright. You have no shame to do it in front of people. This is a reality. This was Hajj. Smoke, smoke, smoke. Illa man rahim Allah. Allahul Musta'an. Allah knows best whether these Hajj were accepted. All of these Hajj that the people made. Allah says in the Quran, La fusuk. There should be no disobedience in Hajj. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a condition for the ones Hajj to be accepted that there should be no fusuq, no disobedience. Smoking is not only disobedience, it is oppressing oneself and oppressing others. This is double trouble. This may nullify the whole reward of Hajj. Is it worth it for a cigarette? Are we men or are we women or are we what? The brother says, "Our brother, I can't stop. I can't stop smoking." Are you a man? Can you imagine a man fighting with a cigarette and the cigarette defeats him? Is this rational? A piece of nastiness can beat you, old big old man? This is shame. This is a shame. You're a man. Allah gave you power. Allah gave you determination. Allah gave you strength. Allah gave you patience. You're a man. You throw it on the ground. Case closed. Never light it up again. This should be our attitude. Anytime you smoke, you need to be mindful of Allah and remember that what you're doing is majorly haram for you and for the believers. And as for you whom Allah has protected from smoke, praise Allah that He did not make you among the smokers. Secondly, do not be cheap. Do not deprive your brothers in Islam of some advice. When you see them, talk to them. We must enjoin what is good and forbid what is evil before the punishment comes to us. We must, every time you see something haram, stop and speak to the person in whichever way you find suitable at that time. But we must advise the people. Many of them don't know. Many of them wish to leave. They need a reminder. They need support. Don't be cheap. Don't deprive of your brother. Say, Ya Akhi, aren't you ashamed of Allah? Aren't you ashamed of Allah who's looking at you? Using the money that Allah gave you, which your mom is more in need of than the store. Aren't you ashamed that you use the same money that Allah gave you, the body that Allah gave you, the mind that Allah gave you, to disobey Allah with them? And you want to go to Jannah with this kind of attitude? Jannah is not for these people. Jannah is not for these people. Jannah is for those who strive against their desires. Those who suppress their desires and their whims for the sake of Allah. Even if they fall into shortcomings. But there's a battle going on. There's a struggle going on. The problem is when we don't struggle. We surrender to the shaitan. And we think that we have no ability to leave. But we have the ability to leave. We should just depend on Allah Azza wa Jal. And utilize the means. And make this will, strong will and determination. That we will never smoke again. And we will never allow anyone to smoke in our presence again also. And you have the right to do so. You can tell the person, Akhi, put this cigarette out now. You are harming me. And I will ask for my right from you on the day of judgment, wallahi. Wallahi, if you don't put it out, I will tell Allah on the day of judgment, you will deprive me of fresh air. You will not be able to give it to me on that day. It's better for you to stop smoking now. But because we don't say these things, they think it's okay. If you have this will, this confidence, Allah Azza wa Jal will support you. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه. الحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل وسلم على عبدك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Brothers in Islam, Allah tells us in the Quran, وما نرسل بالآيات إلا تخويفا. And we only send our signs, including that which you saw recently in terms of the flood, تخويفا, as means of frightening the creation. Allah is warning us, so we will awake from our depth, from our deep sleep. This is a warning from Allah. Each one of us is responsible for the well-being of the Ummah, not only himself. I and you have to repent to Allah, have to renew our relationship with Allah, have to realize that unless we rectify, and you know Jeddah is unlike the rest of the kingdom. It is known as being a place of evil, a place where there's much westernized attitude and approaches from the people. This place is unlike others, and Allah gave us a taste of the punishment. So the chances for this punishment to return are very high. And we cannot afford to die while being among those who were disobeying Allah. Instead, if Allah decrees that one of us dies in a calamity, then we will be resurrected on the Day of Judgment among the Muslihin, those who used to rectify the condition of the Ummah. There are two people who drowned, and more than that, during the flood. But one of them will die in a state of disobedience and sin, and another one will be a shaheed, a martyr in the sight of Allah. Both were immersed in water. Both died due to the calamity, but they are not the same in the sight of Allah. And if this happens again, then me and you will be in the same predicament. Either you will die as a sinful person whom Allah has hastened the punishment for in this dunya, and what is waiting for him in the life to come is worse, or you will die as a righteous believer who is striving to rectify himself and the people around him, and you will be a martyr in the sight of Allah, a shaheed. This is a great ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we ask Allah to accept those who died in the flood of Jeddah among the shuhada. Verily is able to do all things. Allahumma arhamna bi rahmatik. Allahumma la tu'adhibna bi dhunubina ya rabbal alameen. Allahumma arda'anna wa'afu'anna wa'ahdina lima tuhibbu wa tardahu min al-qawli wal-amal. Allahumma inna zalamna anfusana wa'an lam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد. أقم الصلاة.